السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we discuss the zuhud of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. Zuhud is an Arabic word, and what it means is that a person leads an abstentious and self-denying life. He leads a type of a life where he denies himself luxuries, etc. Now this again you will find in different religions, batil religions as well. You find people who adopt a life of zuhud. I remember going to a place, it was on an island, the island was called Macau, and on that island there was a monastery, and they had these monks in that monastery. So these monks, they don't talk, they don't eat. They only eat certain things just for survival. They just wear that Gandhi type of outfit. And, sometimes for hours they would just sit in one posture. Some of them they would stand for hours on one leg. It's all like spiritual exercises where they're trying to discipline themselves and they're trying to tap into the spiritual world. So this is their type of zuhud. And they have their own reasons why they adopt this type of zuhud. But in Islam, in Shariat, zuhud is where a person forgoes worldly pleasures. He forgoes certain worldly pleasures, worldly luxuries, etc., worldly comforts, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And by this, he hopes that he will have a comfortable and a pleasure-filled life in the Akhirat. In hoping for a pleasure-filled life in the Akhirat, he is prepared to forego pleasures in this dunya. For example, you could have gone home now. You could have gone home. Your wife could have had a beautiful meal prepared there for you. You've got a wonderful bed waiting for you. But now you're denying yourself that. You're sitting in the masjid. You're denying yourself those pleasures for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, because you want to enjoy certain pleasures in the Akhirat. So this is a certain level of zuhud. Now the greatest zahid was none other than Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the way that a person attains zuhud is the more yaqeen the person has on the pleasures of the Akhirat. Now Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had actually seen Jannat. He had seen Jahannam. One day while reading Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened everything out to him. So much so that in the namaz, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went forward and then he came back. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the veils. I was looking at Jannat. I could have actually plucked a bunch of grapes and brought it for you. That's how Jannat was opened up for me. And then on the night of Mi'raj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went up to the heavens, etc. So there's nobody that could have more yearning for the Akhirat than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the night of Mi'raj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks up and he says, Zuru Jibrail, whose place is that? Jibrail alayhi wasallam said that is your place. So allow me to go and see. Not yet. So what yearning Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have had for the Akhirat. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have seen those things, you think the things of the dunya were going to attract him. So let these days pass quickly. We've got no time for these days. The Akhirat is what we need to be working towards. So You find in Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, Mubarak life, in his teachings, in his advices, this zuhud, the flavor of zuhud was in his entire life, in all his words, in his practices, etc. You find Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he has instructed us, that live in the dunya like a wayfarer, like a traveler. Person has just stopped under one tree for a while and is going to be moving on just now. So live like that in the dunya. So if we take a few examples, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we make dua, and this is fine for us, right? This is fine for us. We make dua for different things. We make dua for a beautiful home. We make dua for wonderful motor car. We must have barakat in our business, and we must earn better salaries, and all these type of things we would make dua for. And there's nothing wrong. We are asking our Allah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my rizq must just be sufficient for my survival. That's all. I must just have that much what is sufficient for me to live. That's all. Now would we make a dua like this? We don't have the guts. And we mustn't even try it, because we're too weak. If that had to be our halat, we don't know which church we would have been ringing some bells so we collect some grocery hamper. But this was Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah Ta'ala to feed him one day and keep him hungry the next. So one day he would make shukr to Allah Pak, the next day he would adopt sabr. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes an entire month would pass by and the stove in Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house is not lit. If we come home and we're feeling hungry on that day, and we ask the wife, now what you cook, and she says, no, I was thinking today we'll just have tea and toast. We know what would go through us, even those of us that may say we make some sabr and we won't voice anything, but we know what's happening inside. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would come home, he would ask Ummahatul Mu'mineen, whichever house he was going to, is there anything to eat after Fajr now when he's coming home, like after Ishraq and all that, now when he comes home, so he will ask, is there anything to eat? So if he is told that there's no food in the house, he said, no problem, today I'll keep roza. Then he would make his intention and he would fast for the day. So even food was not something that was high up Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's priority list. And with us, if we're going anywhere, the main thing is food. A person is going for Umrah also, his main fikr is his food. If you're going for a picnic also, they say Indians go for a picnic, you just know, nah, that one pot will be there, or the braai will be there, or something. Food is very high up our priority list. And that's why it has become such an industry today, the food industry, because to us it's such an important thing. Whereas to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, it was something for survival. They ate to survive. Well, the one person said very beautifully, he said, they ate to live, we live to eat. Forget our zamana. Just after the zamana of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the young Sahaba, who were young at the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so now they had grown up, they were adults. So they went, I can't remember to which Sahabiya, whether it was one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen or one of the family members of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can't remember who it was. But they went to her and they told her that we want to taste what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat, the curry that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat. She told them, you won't manage. You all won't manage. He said, no, make for us. We want to eat what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat. They had the talab, the desire. They wanted to taste. When she made it, they were shocked at what Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat. So if they in that zamana were already shocked, what is our zamana? So food wasn't something that was very high up the priority list of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ate barley bread. Now when we talk about barley bread is an inferior quality of bread. Right? Today they take the barley and they put it in the bread and they charge you more for it. But whereas barley was the cheaper type of bread. So Nabi Akareem, it was more coarse, very rough. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never ate barley bread to his full for 3 consecutive days. There wasn't a time that for 3 days Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate barley bread also. Forget a curry or anything. Just bread he never ate to his full. And when we talk about how they used to grind their flour, etc. Once the Sahabiyat radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, they were asked, but you all had no sifs and how you all used to grind the flour? So we used to take the seeds, we press it little bit, and then we just blow all the covering now, the husk. So whatever flew out, whatever stayed in. And like that we used to make the bread. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sleep on a straw mat. And this mat used to actually leave the imprint on Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak body. Once Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was lying down like this on the mat, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala came into the room, and he couldn't take it, looking at Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this, so few commodities in the room, and then he sees this imprint on Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak body, and he began tearing, you know. And he says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kings of Rome and Persia, they are living in such luxury. You are the Nabi of Allah. And you are living like this. So why don't you make dua to Allah Pak? Allah Pak also grant some wealth, Allah Pak grant something that you can have some comfort, some luxury in your life. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reclining, was sitting down. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala made the statement, he sat up. His face went red. Red his face went. And he reprimanded Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He said, Oh Umar, you making the statement? And then he says that the dunya is for them. Akhirat is for us. The dunya is for them. I'm just giving you the gist of what Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him. They will have the dunya. Akhirat is for us. Since when is our fikr the dunya? So household commodities, luxuries, etc. All this wasn't high up Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's priority list. Total zuhud, abstinence from all types of pleasures, all types of comforts and all types of luxuries. Then if we come to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's clothing, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life, there is no report that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore a trouser, a pants, his whole life. He would only wear what we call the lungi. Now between the lungi and the trouser, the one of more simplicity was the lungi. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would only wear lungi his whole life. But he did praise the trouser, the pants. Because there is a lot of you know, a person can cover himself up well with the pants. Sometimes a person is wearing a lungi, and if he doesn't know properly how to wear the lungi, he's not used to it, he can expose his satar. But with the pants, it's not easy for the satar to become exposed. I'm not talking about this Western type of tight type of clothing where even the person is wearing clothes but is not wearing clothes. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the normal pyjama, the normal trouser. If the person is wearing a loose-fitting trouser, then there is very slim chance of his satar becoming exposed. Then if we take the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's houses were made with mud. I remember